But I want to talk to you this afternoon about some biblical realities from Jeremiah's life. And the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter number 1 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me," that's Jeremiah saying, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee." Now that's a great verse, especially on the sanctity of life. Don't you love seeing that verse quoted when Christians are trying to stand up for the innocent unborn? That's a great verse. But watch what it also says. "And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." The Lord ordained Jeremiah in the womb. "And then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." The Lord calls Jeremiah, and Jeremiah doesn't even have the ability to say yes or no. Before he was even born, the Lord ordained that he would be a mouthpiece for the Lord. God called him. Jeremiah never had to stand up in a meeting and say, "You know what, I think I'm called of the Lord to preach." Now, how many of you have heard that said in churches before? "I think the Lord's just called me to preach." Now, I'm not saying when people say that, I am not saying that they're not called of the Lord. All I'm saying is there's plenty of places in Scripture, if not most places in Scripture, where people are called by the Lord and they don't want to go. We're talking about people that would never stand up in a meeting like this and say, "Preacher, I think I'm called to the Lord to preach." Moses. Go back to Exodus 10 and let's look at just a few examples so we can see this. Exodus chapter number 10. Exodus chapter number 4, verse number 10. Exodus chapter number 4. Verse number 10. Let's look at Moses. He says in verse number 10, "And Moses said unto the Lord," he's going to give the Lord some advice. "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." Moses is saying, "Look, Lord, I'm not your guy. And here's why. I'm not eloquent and I'm slow of speech." Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been around a man or a woman at a workplace or in a social environment where it takes that man a little bit of time to get his words out? That's Moses. Have you ever been around a man when you ask him a question, it takes him a few seconds for the hard drive to boot, and then a few seconds more, and then something comes out of his mouth? Let me tell you who that is. That's Moses. He was slow of speech. You ask somebody a question, you're expecting an answer in a second, and that person doesn't give you an answer because it's just taking them a while to process. You know who that is? Moses. He was slow of speech. And he used that as an excuse to say, "Nah, God, you didn't call me. Here's why. There's more eloquent men than I am." Look at verse number 13 in that same chapter. And he said, "Oh, my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send." Moses understood clearly that work needed to be done. But Moses also was okay with being reluctant to go. Moses was okay with some of the excuses he was given himself and the Lord. And I'm telling you, sometimes we smooth talk ourselves out of things that the Lord would have us to do. I'd rather have the slow talker than the smooth talker. Wouldn't you? Give me the guy that it takes him a little bit for the truth to come out. At least I'm getting the truth. Give me the slow talker, not the smooth talker. You know who the smooth talker is? That's the politician. Man, they can just smooth talk their way right into. You say, how'd that guy get elected? He smooth talked his way in. Well, the whole thing was rigged. Yeah, I know. He smooth talked enough people to rig it. Give me the slow talker rather than the smooth talker. And God's calling Moses. God's calling Moses. Look at Exodus 6. Exodus 6. Verse number 30. We'll look at the last verse in that chapter. All this is going on. God's look, Moses, look, you're going to go to Pharaoh. Nah, I'm not going to go. I don't want to go. He says in verse 29 that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord. Speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. And Moses said before the Lord, behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and thou shalt Pharaoh hearken unto me. I'm telling you, when God called a man, when God called Jeremiah, God called Moses, they didn't want to go. Jeremiah couldn't even make a decision. God made it for him. Go to the book of Judges. Go to the book of Judges. And look at chapter 6. Judges chapter number 6. That old Gideon is called. Look at verse number 12 in chapter 6 of Judges. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, this is Gideon, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And that would, I would love, wouldn't you love to have your son hear that from the Lord? Just the voice of the Lord thunders down and says, man, you're a mighty man of valor. Watch what Gideon says, verse number 15. And he says unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I have Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Come on, Gideon, Lord called you. Come on, Moses, Lord called you. Come on, young person, maybe the Lord's calling you. You can come up with an excuse, oh, my family's poor. Oh, I'm the least in my father's house. Both those men were mightily used by God. You see, that's the Old Testament. So we got a New Testament example. I'll go to Luke chapter number 5 and we'll look at Simon Peter. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter number 5, verse number 8. Luke 5, 8. This chapter is about the Lord, Jesus Christ, teaching Simon Peter how to fish for men. And he's using fishing, physical fishing, to teach them what he's going to make. And in verse number 7, verse number 5, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, taken nothing, nevertheless, thy word, I will let down the net. And when he had done this, when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. They beckoned on their partners, which were in the other ship, they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. And watch what Simon Peter said. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Now we appreciate you, Simon Peter. But watch what Jesus says. And so it was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Simon Peter is quick. Look, we appreciate that we have some fear of the Lord. And I think we ought to. I appreciate that we should see ourselves as sinful men. I believe that we ought to not forget that. But the Lord's trying to make Simon Peter into something. And Simon Peter's using the excuse, well, I'm just a sinful man. Oh, depart from me, Lord. I'm just a sinful man. Now, let me ask you, Christian. Has there ever been a time in your life where you've gone back and you've said to yourself, and you've said to the Lord, Lord, I just can't be used. I'm just such a sinful man. I'm a sinful woman. I've done this. I've done that. Oh, Lord, just depart from me. I can't be used. May I remind you that Jesus is trying to teach Simon Peter how to fish for men. The biblical realities that we can learn from these men and from Jeremiah is that the Lord called them. They never called themselves. And they didn't want to do it. But they were greatly used by God. Go back to Jeremiah chapter number 1. Everybody hear the term? You can't get anybody to volunteer for anything anymore. Well, maybe in Tennessee, because we're the volunteer state. But people have trouble getting people to volunteer for things anymore. So now the new term is called voluntold. I'm just going to voluntold you. I'm trying to get the person to think they volunteered when in reality you just told them what to do. You know what happened to Jeremiah? He was voluntold. God voluntold. Go to verse 4. The word of the Lord came unto me and then saying. So what do you do with that? The word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah and the Lord told him, here's what you're going. I've been in all different types of churches. Many of you have been saved for quite a long time. You've been in different churches. You've seen prayer conducted different ways. All of it's right. As long as they're not handling snakes and doing all that kind of nonsense. But you know what I mean. I've been in churches where you got multiple men praying at the same time. I've been in churches where everybody's praying silently to themselves. I've been in churches where one man prays and another man prays. I've been in churches where you have men praying in one room, you have women praying in the other room. Which one's right? All of them. I've been in camp meetings. I've been at Bible conferences where the preachers are assigned a task. Here, you're going to preach the first 4 verses of John. You're going to preach the second. Go through Psalm 23, and each preacher gets a verse. I've been in meetings where whatever the Lord lays upon your heart, you just go ahead and let it rip. I've been in where I've attended and the preachers, but just it's just the theme. Hey, it's just going to be based on prayer. It's just going to be based on forgiveness. Our last conference we said, hey, we're going to give you a verse, and we're going to give you liberty. You just go ahead on the theme. You grab anything the Lord puts in your heart. Which one's right? All of them. Here, Jeremiah is being told by God to do something. I've been in meetings where the preacher said, you got 20 minutes to preach. I've been in meetings where they said, you got 45 minutes to preach. I've been in meetings where they said, you know what, you got 10 minutes. The most wild ones are when they say, look, there's no time. You just go ahead and let her rip. Which one's right? The guy that's moderating, his way's right. I don't mean, they're all right. They're all right. But here, Jeremiah is being told something. I said all that to say this. In the church, some are given the gift of pastor teaching. Not everybody. But you know what we are all commanded to do? You know what we are all told by God to do? Preach the gospel unto every creature. So we have gifts that can be used amongst the body, and then we have commands where God voluntold you. God said, you are going to go, and you are going to go, and you are going to go, and you are going to go. So what do you do with that? You go. You go. Why? Because God told you. The word of the Lord came to you and told you to go. Now, it might look different. Well, the first lesson I learned with street preaching was this. That people call the cops on you. Because they think some nut job showed up in town. It's a fanatic Christian. Well, so the cops come. And the first thing that the cop says to me, sir, do you know that we can hear you all the way down at the police station? And I said to the officer, I said, oh, well, praise the Lord. I'm sure there's people out there. And we got to talking. And you know what my first lesson I learned was? The buildings those big buildings, brick buildings, the sound bounces off of it. And I said, wow, you can use the building to bounce sound. I don't have to talk that much. It's a form of outdoor amplification, just built in. And so me and the police officer became good friends, and he would patrol, and he understood my rights, I understood his authority, and we had a good old time. But you know what's unique about Pittman, New Jersey? In 1871, they built an amphitheater in what's called, today it's still called the Grove. They built an amphitheater. It was a camp meeting, a Methodist camp meeting. To get to the amphitheater, there were 12 paths that were supposed to represent the 12 apostles. And so the community, that was the center of the community. And those 12 paths are still there today, but they were there and they all led to the amphitheater of this camp meeting. And so they put the circuit riding preachers up. And then people would come from the town and they'd all go to this camp meeting. In 1913, how many of you know that hymn, In the Garden? Come to the garden of the Lord. The hymn writer wrote that hymn at that camp meeting in 1913. That's where he wrote it. And I thought that was pretty good. So we found, you know, there was a, so they all call, every town has a Broadway. And now every town won't have a J Street. You ever look that up? Washington, D.C. doesn't have a J Street. I don't know if that has anything to do with the name of Jesus starting with J, but they have all the other letters, but no J. But this town, like most towns, have a Broadway. A theater, everybody comes to the theater. And people are lining up outside. And just give out tracts, old sign. People just thought that was the oddest thing. It's nobody's doing it. God tells you to do something, you better do it. God lays in your heart something to do, you better do it. If you've been voluntold, you better do what God told you to do. And if you can't get something out of your heart or out of your mind, it might be God voluntold you. So, pay attention. Now, we all know what's unique about Jeremiah, and I'd like to bring that out as the next point. Go to chapter number 9. Jeremiah chapter number 9. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. Weeping is not always a bad thing. Matter of fact, in Jeremiah's case, it was a good thing. Jeremiah chapter number 9, the Bible says, "Oh, that my head were waters! And mine eyes a fountain of tears, for I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." I also want you to look at Jeremiah chapter number 14. We see the same thing echoed in verse number 17. Jeremiah 14, verse 17. "Therefore, thou shalt say this word unto them, let mine eyes run down with tears night and day, and let them not cease. For the virgin daughter of my people is broken with a great breach, with a very grievous blow." Jeremiah lives through Nebuchadnezzar destroying Jerusalem. He lives through that. And in Lamentations, Jeremiah is weeping over what has become of Jerusalem. And his weeping is not a bad thing. He is asking God in Jeremiah chapter 9 and in Jeremiah chapter 14. He is asking God, "Help me weep properly, Lord." And I'm telling you, some lessons from Jeremiah is this. It's okay to weep. And there may be some times in your life where you need to cry out to God, "God, help me to weep properly." I've wept. Probably more over the last 4 years I have over the last 14 years. And I don't always think it's a bad thing. You weep over people when they leave. You weep over people when there's a situation going on and you don't have an answer. You weep over what's going on in a situation. You feel like you have no control over the situation. You weep over the fact that people are unfaithful. Your children weep over the fact, where's the faithfulness? Your family weeps over the fact that where's the loyalty? What's happening here? How do I get some answers, Lord? Now, if you're like me, I'm going to bet you've probably been there too. I'm going to bet. I know we're Baptists. We're not supposed to bet. So it's. Jeremiah's got an emotion. He's trying to get a hold of the Lord to make sure he's doing it right. Maybe we need to get a hold of the Lord and ask the Lord, hey, Lord, when it's time for me to weep, can you help me do it right? He is grieved over what's happening to Jerusalem. Go to Jeremiah chapter number 16. There's one man in the Bible where God said, don't get married. You know who it was? Jeremiah. Now, I know Paul wasn't married, but here, watch what the text say in Jeremiah 16, verse number one. Here he is. He's voluntold again. The word of the Lord came also unto me, saying, this is what God told Jeremiah. He's got no say in the matter. God said, thou shalt not take thee a wife, neither shalt thou have sons or daughters in this place. You know what Jeremiah is a picture of? It's a picture of the tribulation. Jeremiah is told by God, you are not going to get married, and you are not going to have children. And you may think, well, and maybe there is some application there. I'm sure there is. The rough road that Jeremiah has to go through, God says, don't bring a woman through that. The rough road that Jeremiah has to go through, God says, don't bring kids into that. Because what is going to happen in Jerusalem is going to be so bad that no women or no children will want to bear it. And he's called the weeping prophet. Imagine if he had a wife and he did have kids. He'd be an absolute mental marshmallow. Yet his weeping is biblical. His weeping is biblical. Now watch this. We'll get some New Testament doctrine here. Go to Luke 23 and Matthew 24. I want to show you this. Luke 23. Luke 23 and Matthew 24. We'll do Luke 23 first. Jesus Christ is on his way to Calvary's tree to bleed out and die for your sin and for my sin. Watch what he says in Luke chapter number 23, verse number 27. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. This is Christ on the way to the cross. People are lamenting. You know, the book of Lamentations was written by Jeremiah after he is weeping over what happened to Jerusalem. And then he says, but Jesus turning unto them and he said this, daughters of who? Jerusalem. Then he told them, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. God told Jeremiah, do not have a wife and do not have kids. It's a picture. It's prophesying the tribulation. And here he's saying, look, you daughters of Jerusalem, don't you weep for me. You weep for yourself and for your children. Why? For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? You know why Jesus is saying that to you? Because there's going to be a time that's going to come where God's going to deal with Jerusalem again. And he's saying, don't weep for me. You are not going to want to have women and children during that time. It's going to be an awful thing. It is going to be a blessed thing if you say that, blessed be God, the womb's barren. Why? Because that time is going to be so awful and people are going to have to go through it. It's when God turns back and deals with the nation. Look at Matthew 24. Matthew 24. We see the same thing in verse number 19. Matthew 24, verse number 19. Bible says, and woe unto them that are with child. What's going on here? We are in the time of tribulation. This is Daniel's 70th week that is being dealt with. The catching away of the church has already occurred. And now it's this. And woe unto them that are with child. Why in the world would it be a bad thing to have children? Well, it isn't now. But during that time, it will be. You're a tribulation saint. Guess what you're not going to want to have, Mom? Gathering up all the kids and trying to get them to flee into the mountains, especially if it's in the winter. Or on the Sabbath day. So he says, woe unto them that are with child and them that give suck in those days. What days? There's coming a time when being married and having children will be extremely upsetting. Jeremiah is pictured. It's a prophetic picture of a prophet, a tribulation prophet. It's a picture of that. This is why he was told not to get married, not to have children. The whole thing on Matthew 24 that goes a lot deeper verse by verse, but that gives you a little picture of Jeremiah. It pictures what he went through. It's a picture of the Antichrist coming into Jerusalem. It's a picture of that abomination of desolation being set up. Book of Jeremiah pictured. Go to Jeremiah chapter number 11. Jeremiah chapter number 11. Verse number 19. Verse number 18, the Lord hath given me knowledge of it, and I know it. Then thou showest me their doings. But I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter. And I knew not that they had devised devices against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with the fruit thereof. And let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be no more remembered. Jeremiah is warning them. They don't want to hear it. Jeremiah cares for his people, but they don't appreciate it. You know, you do know, because you're at church on a Sunday afternoon. You know that Christ came and died for sin. You go out in this world, you start witnessing to people and get involved in public ministry, and you will find out real quick they do not appreciate it. They'll call you names. They'll mock you. They'll mock your God. They don't appreciate it. Jeremiah's letting them have it. Look, he's got a tear in his heart, and so should we. But they don't want to hear it. Lester Olof said years ago, and I think it's a great quote, I probably botched the quote, he said, America is an insane asylum. And he said, it's run by the inmates. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. You look at who's running this thing. The other thing about Jeremiah is probably what you're thinking. Why didn't he just quit? Oh, we wanted to. Go to Jeremiah chapter 20. Who wouldn't? Jeremiah 20. He's a weeping prophet. Jeremiah 20, verse number 7. The Bible says, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak him any more in his name. He wanted to quit. He didn't want to mention the Lord's name. He's being mocked at, and he's in derision, and he wants to. And I'll be honest with you. Probably the toughest outreaches for me personally to do are the ones that happen in June. It's supposed to be Pride Month. June 3rd, June 17th. And when you go down to Crossville, Tennessee, and you drive by and you go to park, and you see all these signs, and you see, and when you park, you walk out there, you are listening to people yell blasphemous things about your Lord. And you are listening to people say, why are you here judging us? Jesus didn't judge. Jesus loves us. God loves what we're doing. And publicly displaying absolute wickedness in front of children to see. Women with women doing things that I won't mention because children are here. Men doing things publicly, showing public affection because they want to blaspheme our God. This ain't Mayberry. This ain't Mayberry. We're talking about this is Jeremiah stuff. And they will not stop at trying to get your grandchildren and your children and your children. You think Child Protective Services is bad now? They got to deal with some mess now? You let this thing keep going. You let that thing keep going. There's got to be a preacher of righteousness that comes out there and lets him have it. With the tear in his heart. And if he doesn't have a tear in his heart, he's wrong. And if I do it and I don't have a tear in my heart, I'm wrong. And if you don't go out and do it, I'm not saying you're wrong. Because not everyone's called to that. We need to be praying about that. You think, well, we live in America. We don't live in Jerusalem. This is the problem I have with American Christianity. They don't get out of the four walls of the church house. They have no clue. They think they're going to vote this thing out. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I started on the street 11 years ago, and I'm going to finish on the street. Now, I will tell you, as the church grows, or if the Lord grows numbers here, we're praying to that end. I don't want to stay a small church. But I don't want to grow in big numbers at the expense of truth. But I want the Lord to bring more families. And as that happens, and the church grows, and more men can go out, and more men can preach, and more men can hand out tracts, and more men can personal witness, then it's natural, it's normal. Okay, now the preacher can kind of back off. Now that work's been growing. Other men have been able to have been trained up and fill that spot. And I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. I don't think people always need to see Brother Jimmy out in the street. I think they need to see Pilgrim Baptist out in the street. Pilgrim Baptist is there. Pilgrim Baptist is represented. We should show up at every community event. And the town should know. Oh, pilgrim's here. Good, pilgrim's here. Maybe Brother Kelly, he's not called to preach open air, but I'll tell you what he is great at. You get him one-on-one with somebody. Something's going to happen there. See, I'm not called to open air preach. I'm not called to be Jeremiah. I'm not called to cry aloud like St. Isaiah. I'm not called to lift my voice like a trumpet. Great. Stand and hold a sign. Because when someone needs to talk to, someone needs to be talked to, we need the guy that's excellent on one-on-one. Now, maybe you can do both. Maybe you can do one. Maybe you can do... But Jeremiah was voluntold by God, and he did what God told him to do. And we've all been told to go out. Jeremiah wants to quit, but watch what he says in verse number 9. Then I say, at the end of it, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with preparing. And I could not stay. He wanted to quit, but then he realized, I got something burning in my heart, and it's not going away. I've got to do what God told me to do. You know how many nights I've laid awake and how many early mornings I've awoke? And it's no sense anymore in trying to go back to bed. I'm over that. You just pray. And you read some verses. You put some scripture together and then you pray some more. Why? Because you got burning in your heart. People need to hear. But we've all heard of burnouts, right? You don't want to crash and burn. We've all heard that, right? This is why God doesn't have me or you as an Old Testament prophet, okay? This is why God has us in a church, a body that has many members. Well, you maybe you take a break, okay? You kind of go a little nutso. Why don't you just go somewhere? We'll go out. We'll take this one. Oh, good. Thanks, brother. I needed this. Because we're a body. We're a body. It's always been my desire. We have the four corners of a square cup. It's always been my desire. Any major public event, people, pilgrims here. It doesn't matter if it's a gay pride festival. All pilgrims here. The Lord's going to be represented. Pilgrims here. They're going to have signs. They're going to give tracts out. Pilgrims. I bet you one of those men's going to preach. Let's hear what one of those men from Pilgrim has to say about the Lord. You got all different types of events. You're not going to preach the same. You preach at the R.C. Moon Pie Festival as you would at the Gay Pride and Cross. Okay, so look, we've got to have representation. You and I have been voluntold, just like Jeremiah has been voluntold. And you, just like Jeremiah, and me, just like Jeremiah, we're going to want to quit. But don't. But don't. The other thing in verse number 20 in Jeremiah, chapter number 20, Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse number 10. Watch this. Jeremiah, I want us to get some lessons here, was faithful without friends. For I heard the defaming of many, verse 10, fear on every side. Report, say they, and we will report it. They're talking behind his back. Reports are going out about him. They're talking about him. All my familiars watched for my halting. There's his friends. All of his friends saying, peradventure, he will be enticed and we shall prevail against him. And we shall take our revenge on him. He heard all that defaming. He had to deal with all of his friends leaving him and talking about him. You know what he was? Faithful without friends. I'm calling on you, young people. Be faithful without friends. Stand like Jeremiah. Stand fast and be faithful without friends. Young adults, older adults, senior saints, we need to stand faithful without friends. I want friends. You want friends. And I want and need the fellowship. But people are going to come and people are going to go. And some people come and go. Just, well, read 1 John 2:19 and I'll give you the reason why people come and go. Not all the time, but a lot of the times. Read it for yourself. But he's getting made fun of and his friends are talking about. Look at verse number 14. Cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, a man-child is born unto thee, making him very glad. And let that man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew and repented not. Let him hear the cry in the morning and the shouting at noontide, because he slew me not from the womb. Why didn't you just kill me? Or that my mother might have been grave and her womb to be always great. Wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame? Church people, we're in a fight. I'm telling you, one of the things I hate more than anything, it's a pet peeve of mine, is spoiled proud Americans to play the victim. Of all these people getting government money to throw the victim. If there's one person in history that can play the victim card, I'm tending to give it to Jeremiah. If there's anybody that can say I'm a victim, it's him! We'll give him a pass. But these spoiled Americans that can't go out and do anything, or they just complain about everything and everybody except themselves, I just can't relate to it. I can't. Now, if you went through what Jeremiah went through, then I can relate to it. Jeremiah 38. Two more passages of scripture. Jeremiah 38, verse number 4. Jeremiah is put in jail. Therefore the princes said unto the king, we beseech thee, let this man be put to death. For thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in the city, and his hands of all the people, in speaking such words unto them, for this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt. Then Zedekiah the king said, behold, he is in your hand, for the king is not he that can do anything against you. Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah. And in the dungeon, the last part of the verse, there was no water, but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. They put him in jail. That's where he ends up. You know who Jeremiah had on his side? Three people. One of them was the Lord. One of them was Barak, his beloved friend and his personal scribe. And the other one's right here, verse number 7. Yeah, an Ethiopian eunuch. Now, when Ebed-Melech, that was his only friend besides Barak. Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs, which was in the king's house, heard they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon. The king then, sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, my lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon. And he is like to die for hunger in the place where it is, for there is no more bread in the city. Jeremiah is doing all this. He loves the people. He loves the Lord. The Lord told him to do something. He's doing it. He's got one friend that's pleading his case. Man, we need some Ebed-Melechs. We need some Ebed-Melechs. We have some men here fought in the Vietnam War. We have some military men that come here, are here, fought for our freedom. A lot of them died. A lot of them were in prison camps. Here Jeremiah is in prison camp. He's got one friend that comes. I'm always amazed at how few people come to the Memorial Day service on the square in town, as opposed to these big secular festivals. And here we are, Jeremiah in jail. One guy comes. Ebed-Melech. We need some more Ebed-Melechs. If I got in jail, I'd hope there'd be an Ebed-Melech to come visit. If you got locked up in jail for preaching the gospel, I would pray that there'd be an Ebed-Melech that comes to you. We have the freedom now. Men in this nation fought for our freedom. We have it now. Who knows how long that window of opportunity is going to be open before we completely lose it. I want to conclude with this thought. For this thought, I need you to get Jeremiah 43. Jeremiah 43. And flip forward to Daniel chapter number 9. Jeremiah 43 and Daniel chapter 9. And we're going to close out with this thought. And that's this. What we can learn from Jeremiah is that he did right and he received no reward. Jeremiah chapter number 43. Watch what it says. And it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people, all the words of the Lord their God, which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, then spake Azariah the son of Hoshaniah and Johanan the son of Kareah and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. God told them not to go into Egypt. Jeremiah told them not to go into Egypt. Guess where they're going to go? Egypt. Your preacher told you not to get mixed up in that crowd. Your mommy and daddy told you not to get mixed up in that crowd. Guess where a lot of kids end up going? To that crowd. Would you just quit it? God told you. God's prophet told you. And you won't listen. But Barak, the son of Neriah, that's his only friend besides Ebed-Melech, setteth thee on against us, will deliver us into the hand of Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captives into Babylon. Now watch, the end of the, we'll just go to verse 7. So they came into the land of, you got it, Egypt, where they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. And you've got Jeremiah receiving no reward upon the earth. You know where we're told not to store our treasures? Upon the earth. You know where we're told to store them? But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Your reward and my reward is probably not going to come in this life. A little bit later, there's some Jews being carried off into captivity of battle. And that's why I asked you to turn to the book of Daniel. Because Jeremiah is not around anymore. And he got no results. He ended up dying with Barak as a friend and Ebed-Melech as a friend. Oh, but turn over to Daniel. Because there's some Jews being carried away. And in Daniel chapter number 9, watch what it says. Watch what it says in verse 2 in Daniel 9. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And the next thing you know, you got a prayer meeting going on with some Hebrew boys in a fire. And Daniel, you know what he had a reference to? The book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah had some results. He didn't see those results. But guess who did? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were cast into a burning fiery furnace. They fall down bound in the midst of that burning fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar's astonished by the whole thing. He said, I see four men loose. Because it was those three Hebrew boys and the Lord was with them. You know what Daniel started doing? He started reading about the prophet Jeremiah, amen. He started getting into the book. And Jeremiah got some results, but it didn't occur until after he was gone. That's why you got fire that had no power. Didn't touch their hair, didn't touch their coats, they didn't even smell of it. And a great victory was wrought for the Lord. I'd say Jeremiah got some results because Daniel started reading. And you know what might happen? You know what might happen? You might teach a lesson. You might teach a lesson. You might teach a lesson. I might teach a lesson. We all might. Ladies, you might talk to somebody out. You don't know. You might never hear or see the result in your lifetime. And when you're dead and gone, somebody, hey, remember that guy that went to Pilgrim? Tell me a little bit about him. Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, he gave me a tract one day and talked to me, and that night I got saved. Look, you'll never know about that. Don't think your labor is in vain. You and I may not see the results. I may not see the results of this work, this side of it. Lay up your treasures in it. Be faithful without friends. Stand firm. And know your labor is not in vain. God, thank you for your word.